Welcome, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com. And today we have a fascinating interview for you about metals toxicity in the developing brain, the fetal brain. And also we'll be talking about metals toxicity in adults. And much of this is in the context of the recent scandal surrounding Adya Clarity, also known as Black Mica Extract, a product made of dissolved rocks and metals dissolved in sulfuric acid, and then which were fraudulently sold as a dietary supplement to treat everything from arthritis and kidney stones to colon cleansing and pulling metals out of your brain and all kinds of things like that, which were completely unsubstantiated and, in fact, have now been revealed as fraud. Dr. Roy Dittman is a doctor of Oriental medicine. He's got 25 years of clinical experience in perinatal health, women's health, even some longevity medicine. He has postdoctorate certifications in herbal medicine, pediatric acupuncture, perinatal medicine, Korean acupuncture. He has extensive knowledge in macrobiotics, in the caveman diet, that's the Paleolithic diet, raw vegan diet, the zone diet, the rainbow diet from Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and many others. He's also written several books, such as one book called Prenatal Perception, Learning, and Bonding, published by the Leonardo Foundation. He's co-published and funded a book called Early Human Brain Development, also by the Leonardo Foundation. And he joins us today to talk about Adya Clarity.
Good day, Mike.
I really appreciate you taking the time on this issue. I know that, this is all about Adya Clarity is the focus of our conversation, and I know that you have raised some questions about it. What are your concerns?
Well, let's start with the basics, the distinctions around organic and inorganic metals and minerals, and why minerals are important. Because we all are for taking in minerals, and we know that our minerals are reduced in our diet because of depletion of minerals in the soil due to, you know, really aggressive chemical fertilizer farming technologies and big agro, kind of really ruining our topsoil. And that's a big problem. That's a valid issue. And to address it by saying, here, take this mineral product, is something I would say, almost all of us believe in. So that's a correct, platform from which to launch a product. Now, a whole another issue that is a blind spot in this, however, is when a product contains hidden heavy metals. Those are very dangerous to human function, to human physiology on the cellular level, and also to our internal organs. It damages so much. It can actually interfere with genetic and epigenetic transcription.
Are you referring? This product is mislabeled, and it doesn't state the concentration of aluminum, which I guess is a lighter metal. But it also, on the label, it says it contains cadmium, for example, and some other elements. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. In other words, we of course don't know the full implication yet of this product on, for instance, human fetal brain development. But we do know, what we do know is that the implications for human adults is very different from the implications for human fetuses. It's much more serious. Because keep in mind that the fetal brain is absorbing everything. When it's developing, it's just a few cells. It doesn't have kidneys. It doesn't have liver, which we use to filter our blood and clean our blood. There's a clear correlation, azotoxemia, or azotemia, I think it's called, where, you know, you're getting damage to the kidneys from, very serious damage to the kidneys from consuming aluminum and through the placental membrane. Yeah, it's called azotemia. And that's a very serious blood disorder where you can't filter your blood properly and you end up, you know, building up a lot of urea and creatine and creatinine and so forth, these products built up. So you're talking about serious kidney problems and can result in fetal death.
Let me ask you this, though. In some of the rebuttals to the questions that we raised about Audio Clarity, the president of Audio Inc., Matt Bakos, who seems to like to sort of toss around a lot of technical jargon, but none of it, very little of it actually adds up. Like, here's an example. He says Audio Clarity is a food, and then in their defense, they say that their aluminum sulfate is completely safe because it's just like aluminum sulfate in bananas, which, as you know, is more like an organocomplex form of aluminum. Whereas, he even calls Audio Clarity living in one video that I have. When you add it to water, it makes living water, and yet it's made entirely from inorganic dead rocks. So what would you say? How do you clarify these issues for people who are confused? And people are really confused about this, believe me.
Yeah, well, that's a very important distinction, Mike. And thank you for bringing that up, because that's a critical distinction. There's a huge difference between inorganic and organic minerals. First of all,
let's start with those definitions. What is an inorganic mineral?
Well, organic minerals are things that are come in already like plants and animal byproducts and so forth. It's been processed by nature, like in fish.
That's organic minerals.
Yes, in other words, it's taken mineral rock, you know, and converted into a bioavailable form for human consumption, and that's why we eat those things, right? Now, our bodies are not built to absorb inorganic minerals like, say, certain animals can, and plants can. So plants are perfectly suited for transforming these inorganic minerals into the organic form, and that's why we eat plants.
That's why we drink plant juice.
Exactly.
So, but now Audio Clarity, then, being from rocks, is clearly inorganic.
Yes. Now, people, we can absorb certain amount of inorganic minerals if we have perfect probiotics in our intestinal tract. These days, no one has that. So that's a moot point. Not only do we not have perfect probiotic balance in our bacteria, I'd say it's just the opposite. People, probably about 85% of the probiotics in our gut are not powerful enough not only to do that, but it doesn't even support our immune system, doesn't really help us absorb things very well, and it actually is damaging, you know, and decreasing our immune function. So these things, these critical distinctions are very important. So to claim that, you know, we can transform these into organic minerals is a huge long shot. It's a huge stretch, and it's a huge claim. I don't see how they can claim that.
Well, they dissolve their rocks in sulfuric acid that makes these metals go into solution.
Yeah, so
now, what happens when you drink?
Well, to claim it goes into solution, that's a chemical term. That means it's precipitating it down, or it's making it more absorbable. Now, that's another distinction. There's a big difference between absorbing inorganic minerals better and converting an inorganic mineral into an organic mineral. It's not converting it to an organic mineral. It's converting it, it's still an inorganic mineral, but now it's in solution. So now it's more absorbable, which means it's more toxic, in my opinion.
So the aluminum, by adding sulfuric acid to it, they make aluminum sulfate. You drink this, it goes into your stomach, meets your stomach acid, and aluminum is very absorbable at high acidity or low pH.
Yeah.
Right? So is that's what you're saying here?
And so you're doing the opposite of what you want to do. You don't want to be absorbing inorganic minerals better. Yeah.
You don't want to eat rocks and absorb them?
No, because they just sit there in your body and, you know, they cause damage. They cause problems. So that's the opposite of what you want to do. People are confusing absorption with bioavailability.
It's marketed with lots of claims that the minerals in Audia are then highly bioavailable. This is described numerous times, highly bioavailable. And then yet other times when you bring up the aluminum question, because aluminum wasn't really listed on the label as it should have been. And a lot of people didn't know aluminum was in it, so they bring up the aluminum question. And then we're told, well, no, the aluminum isn't absorbed at all, but all the other minerals are highly bioavailable. So what, you know, as you know about this, is it possible that all the good minerals in the solution are highly bioavailable, but all the bad minerals just pass right through?
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't, that's not even logical. You know,
I know, but this is not logical.
But of course, they're all going to be absorbed the same. The big question is, like, what are they taking it for? When I'm looking at this, I'm like, well, why are people taking this? Because the ones that you shouldn't be getting are in very high amounts. So I don't quite get it. I'm scratching my head saying, what? What is the point here?
Well, let me explain, because I've been watching the webinars and really working on this, and they say that everybody's mineral deficient and they need these minerals, and this is a natural mineral complex or matrix, they say, and we all need more minerals, and therefore we should have this. But as you say, it's high in iron and high in aluminum, so it's not maybe the ratios of minerals that we would want to consume.
Yeah, I mean, absorbing iron oxide is the opposite of what any male wants to do. In fact, long ago, Hair Mineral Labs founders, Dan Black, the scientist, physicist, and Dan Black, who was actually a protege student of my father's at USC physics lab, you know, they started the first ways of recording minerals in the hair with Dr. Gary Gordon, the first founder of ACAM, the Society for the Advancement, the American College for the Advancement of Medicine. They determined that, you know, there's critical levels of minerals that should be good for you or bad for you, and, you know, which, you know, how to measure these elements and so forth. This is something that's been available. You know, you can find out through hair, plasma, you know, in other words, blood and urine, what are the important levels that you have. But to one of the things, back to what Dan Black created, was he created the first multivitamin mineral products that excluded iron, because what has been discovered in the past few decades, and it was Harvard Medical School that first discovered this, was that men don't need extra iron. In fact, they need the opposite. They need to remove iron from their blood. And in fact, it's the number one cause of heart disease in men. So it's the worst thing you could be doing. So in fact, they even use leeches there, medical leeches, they have them, to remove blood from men. I always joke with men, I say, you know, that's why you feel so great after a good bar fight, because you're like, wow, I feel good.
Bleeding out.
I lost some blood. You know, and it actually is true.
That's a really important point. Dr. Richard Cunyan told me the same thing. He said about 20% of his patients show symptoms of iron overload.
Yeah.
And Dr. Joseph Mercola also contacted me about this and has written about iron overload. Mm-hmm. And how crucial it is that people get their iron tested, especially men, because obviously they're not losing blood through menstruation, maybe bar fights. But so this is a crucial issue. What would you say?
Let me say one more thing, is that the iron oxide form, I mean, there's different forms of iron, elemental alloys that come in nature and so forth. And I think there's something like 360-something of them. And the kind you find in dirt are some of the most dangerous kind, because it's just like they're just exposed to the elements, and it's like consuming rust or something. And that's like the perfect example of the most toxic radical oxygen species that you can ingest, and it caused immense damage to the cellular membrane. And, it's like the worst possible kind of way you could consume iron anyway, you know.
So if you dissolved rust and aluminum foil in sulfuric acid, you would have something that was actually kind of similar to audio clarity then, it sounds like.
Well, I think, you know, absorbing that, again, increasing the absorption of something that with the potential to cause that much damage to your cell membranes, and to not think about what it will do, you know, as you accumulate that. Because remember, you can ingest something and absorb it better, but that's not a good thing, because that's a something you want to be eliminating, not absorbing, first of all. And first of all, how are you now going to eliminate that? Because inorganic metals just sit there, and they've done studies on them. They don't know how to get them out. The question is, how do you get it out? So if you're just accumulating this more and more, it may take a while to you notice some serious symptoms. But the question is, then when you find out that you're sick or you have a heart problem from the iron oxide building up in your heart tissue, now how are you going to get that out? That's the big question I have.
Right. Would these high levels of iron show up in an iron blood test?
Some, because, and some don't. The blood is traditionally not very accurate outside of a window of about 30 days because it tends to deposit in the tissues. So then it's hard to read. So even, this is well known that even with blood and urine samples, they're not always that accurate. You have to do a combination of sometimes urine and hair to get a picture of what's really going on. And you have to have an experienced practitioner who really understands how to interpret the results, because some of these things can be very misleading. For instance, someone can have no heavy metals at all, and then you do a urine challenge test and you find out, wow, they have tons of stuff coming out of them. So what that means is that they're not eliminating enough, and they're so unhealthy, and the organs are probably damaged so much from it that they have a hard time eliminating it. But you can see from the combination of the two that when you challenge your system and provoke it to eliminate some, that they have a lot in them, but they're not eliminating it properly. Because if it's not in the hair, it means they're not naturally eliminating. It's just accumulating, and that's a big problem.
So speaking of elimination, so these people taking Adia are ingesting this iron sulfate in relatively high levels. Some of the people have been bragging about their detox effects, and their descriptions include they have black gunk coming out from under their fingernails. One man said he's been taking 4 shots of this a day, you know, orally, and he has black stuff coming out of his ear.
Wow.
Do these provide any clues to you? Is it reasonable to think that that might be a toxic overload of iron coming out through any way it can, or is that...
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a sign of severe toxicity. Actually, those are classic examples of heavy metal toxicity, what you're describing, and very dangerous heavy metal toxicity, actually. But here's the thing is that when someone's consuming something like iron with something like aluminum, you're getting a kind of a self-delusional mental syndrome going on, because aluminum is something that interferes with your normal brain functioning. And these people become very spacey, very dull-witted. Their parts of the brain are not working. And aluminum really interferes with brain function.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I've been really trying to understand how so many people could be now completely irrational about this and defend it. Oh, I'm taking it. I'm getting great results. I've got black stuff coming out of my ears, and it's wonderful.
Right.
A huge portion of this industry, especially these raw food vegans who are normally extremely sensitive about what they would ever put into their bodies, they've been drinking this and now they're defending it. And some of them, frankly, they look insane.
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, it's well known in the literature, like people with the vegan or vegetarian diets tend to have higher copper. They tend to have lower adrenal function, and those two patterns go together. When you have that kind of a pattern with a slow oxidation rate, and then you have heavy metal poisoning on top of it, especially things like mercury, cadmium, lead, aluminum, and oftentimes they have these things together. Because when someone has a slower oxidation rate, it's very hard for them to eliminate the accumulated heavy metal poisons. So the brain becomes really, the high copper alone is correlated with, schizophrenia, paranoia, panic attacks, a whole stream of psychotic behavior. If you go to mental institutions, you look at the biggest mental institution in the United States, it's near Cottonwood, Arizona, which has the biggest copper mine, in the United States. And you see, wherever you see copper mines, you see severe mental disorders, and that's been well acknowledged by toxicologists. And unfortunately, the male brain is much more susceptible to this, and the male fetal brain is much more susceptible to this, and it's been correlated to autism spectrum disorders as well, high copper levels. So when you combine high copper with high mercury, or high iron, or other toxins like aluminum, you have a real problem, because especially aluminum and copper have this very toxic numbing effect on the brain that makes this severe mental disorders after a while, and you have a self-deluded kind of personality. It's well known in the industry, like naturopaths and holistic doctors that work with people that have high copper, high mercury, and high aluminum. It's really hard to work with those patients because they're usually in some kind of denial or self-delusion. They think they're healthy when they're not. They're the toughest patients to work with.
Well, we're seeing that in spades right now.
Yeah.
Across the raw community, raw foodies, the vegans. And by the way, many of them were caught up in this in terms of promoting it and making money from it, and they're all just terribly embarrassed.
Yeah.
Which is why most have not spoken out about it yet. I mean, but they've been telling me privately off the record how terrible they feel, and that they're afraid of liability.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of being sued if they come out and apologize, but they feel terrible.
Yeah.
What would you say is happening right now with pregnant women,
mm-hmm.
if they're drinking Adia Clarity? What is happening? What are the implications of that right now?
Well, that's my main concern, Mike. As somebody who's spent my entire career in this field, really since 1983, of helping couples to prepare to have healthy babies. One of the first things I do is detox them of things like aluminum and iron, excess iron. Not so much the women, but more the men. And then also, the other heavy metals. So the implications are far greater for the fetal brain than it is for us, because remember, the fetal brain, again, doesn't have developed kidneys and liver. And so it's just accumulating these heavy metals into this brain. And this is well established in animal research. And, they get it through the breast milk. They're getting it directly through the placental, membranes. It goes right through. And this is my concern, because it's so much more toxic to the fetal brain. And it's permanent damage.
Well, what would happen? I mean,
well, you're talking
mental
about
retardation?
Mental
or what,
retardation. You're talking about autism spectrum disorders. My concern is this has already happened. I mean, I really am worried about this. And unfortunately, a lot of people, when I've spoken to them about Adia, they don't seem to quite understand that this is a very serious thing. And I just spoke with someone yesterday who had a patient. And she said, wow, I have a patient who's taking this right now, and she's pregnant. And she just got it right away. She goes, oh, my God. And she immediately started texting this woman, saying, please stop taking that right now, because she realized the implications. But a lot of people don't realize the implications. They don't know that the fetal brain is so much more susceptible and vulnerable, and that damage occurs is permanent. It's really hard to reverse that damage, because the developmental, brain in the human being, we develop very slowly. It takes us 25 years to grow up. The males takes, the females, 16 years to grow up. But it's You know, our brain takes a long time to develop. It's very delicate. We have amazing brains, but they're extremely sensitive to toxins. We have to be really careful. This is something new to humanity. I don't think we understand the history around why this is a big issue, because it's not. This is recent history. It wasn't until, you know, 200 years ago we had to think about how we were throwing all these heavy metals by the development of our industry into our food chain.
Well, and even then, I mean, this is a case of people bypassing the food chain,
yeah,
and going, digging rocks out of the ground and making them absorbable and
yeah,
then swallowing them.
Exactly. And, you know, see, this is where a lot of the fetal damage is happening these days. When I worked with the scientists in Chernobyl after the Chernobyl disaster, and the doctors over there and institutes like Dr. Trufeloff and others, you know, as tragic as that was and as huge as that has been in the media, only 5% of the toxicity in the birth defects was coming from Chernobyl in those days or from any radioactive substances. 95% of it was coming from heavy metals that were unregulated in the industries in these communist countries, and that was ending up in their food chain. And that was where the birth defects was largely happening in Belarus and Russia and Ukraine and these other countries. And it's a huge part of what brought down the Soviet government, because the people were furious when they found out that the government was so corrupt that they were paying each other off to allow this unregulated pollution that was going into their food supply, into their water supply, and causing mental retardation in their children. They flipped out, and they overthrew their government. You know, this is a very serious thing. So you're talking about, I mean, that's what did it, in my opinion. I was there. I lived there. I studied languages, like Slavic languages. I know these people. It's like my second home. And I can tell you, that's what made them lose it when they found out how negligent their government was.
Yeah. Were many of the people also suffering from cognitive impairment or paranoia, insanity, emotional fits, the side effects that you mentioned?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it causes severe mental problems. Heavy metals can cause homicidal behavior, psychotic behavior. People can have full psychotic breaks. If you go in any mental institution, you're talking about, you're looking at mostly infections in terms of the pathology of it, physical pathology. It's infections and heavy metal poisoning and other doses. You know, Alexis Carrel, he was a Nobel Prize winner. He used to, like, in the 1930s, just take hydrogen peroxide and spray it up mental patients' nose and cure 33% of them, you know, just from that alone. So it just tells you, know, how much of this is really physical, not mental. And so, but, you know, there is, remember, the distinction between the mind and the body is largely semantic. There is no real separation of the mind-body, really. And one influences the other, and any more than there's a separation of time and space. I mean, time, there's time-space consciousness is what we know today, and it's a continuum. It's a continuum, and so the mind influences the body, but the body influences the mind, so to speak. And we shouldn't even say
sure, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, they're one and the same, actually. So
well, let me ask you about a basic chemistry question, because a lot of this, believe it or not, is coming down to teaching people some basic chemistry.
Right.
Now, I studied chemistry. I went to an engineering school, and I actually studied chemistry. I'm not an expert in it, but I know enough to get by and at least raise some questions. But you know a whole lot more than I do about chemistry, so let me ask you this. One of the demonstrations of audio clarity that's done, which is kind of a parlor trick, is they pour a little bit of it into a glass of water, and then it precipitates, it coagulates,
mm-hmm,
through a process called flocculation, and then it settles to the bottom of the glass of water, and then they tell you to drink all that. And then from that, they say, if it's purifying water, it's also purifying your body, because your body's made of water,
mm-hmm,
largely. And then they say, this is what causes it to pull heavy metals out of your body. Does that claim hold water, to use that pun?
No, because, you know, the things like sulfuric acid and the flocculant aspect of audio clarity is correct, but you need a very narrow pH window for that to actually be functional. So you'd have to have really ideal conditions. You have to be very experienced on how to use a flocculant and know exactly the pH of the pond you're working with or pool in order for that to be successful. And it's a very delicate maneuver. It's not something you can just say, oh, it works every time. It's ridiculous. I don't see how
what about it?
Ridiculous. But no.
What about it working in your body?
Well, even more ridiculous. I mean, I don't even see how where that argument would start. It makes no sense in the body.
Well, I mean, that's their argument, is they say your body's 70% water and it works in water, therefore it works in your body. I mean, I'm telling you, this is the raw food logic that is coming out here.
Water is, the body is an electrolytic, water-based system, but I don't see how a flocculant applies to that at all. No, especially because there's so many different pHs in the body and the intestine. It's always changing and so forth. That's ridiculous.
What about the idea that it would pull heavy metals out of your brain and organs?
Well, I'd like to see the evidence for that. Have they ever shown any evidence of that?
Well, a guy says he's got black stuff coming out of his ear.
That's not evidence. I mean, I would have evidence just the opposite. But, if they have any studies showing, with blood plasma, urine, and hair, that would be interesting to see. Do they have any studies like that?
They have no studies, but they did tell me, in all seriousness, this is part of their rebuttal, that the metals in AudioClarity have been independently studied in other studies, so therefore there's a lot of clinical evidence to prove it's safe.
Well, minerals is a broad and sounds like purposely vague reference because, again, it goes back to the organic and inorganic forms. And, I want to go back also to the positive part of all this thing, of this, and that is, There is a positive outcome, and we should be studying minerals and how to absorb minerals better. And I don't want to scare people away from getting healthier by getting minerals absorbed in your body. Just remember that you have to know certain distinctions. The best kind of minerals to use are fulvic acid and based land, minerals. The Russians did research on this, and also the minerals that are from ocean marine plasma, for instance. Those are in the organic form because they're processed by the phytoplankton and the zooplankton in the ocean. And that's at the very, very valid in terms of the evolutionary biology of it. Well, established that our blood evolved from seawater. That's physiology 101 in every medical. Yeah, there's no doubt that minerals are extremely important as catalysts for enzymes in the body, and they work with other cofactors and synergists and microenzymes for our epigenetic expression and the translation of our genes. It's very critical. Absolutely critical. So there's no doubt that minerals are important. But if you start with a valid argument, as they say, if you start with a little bit of truth and then you end up with, spreading then half-truths, you end up with a total lie. And, the way we need to do this is restore the integrity to the products so that we can make sure that we're in compliance with standards that we would not expose our own children to. And we know better than to expose our children to heavy metals these days for many decades now. So California, the state of California, it has very high standards, 1,000 times greater than the US EPA, actually. So in California, you cannot expose people, any human being, to any high dosage of heavy metals without major warnings and precautions and measures.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I know Proposition 65 is quite strict on that, and I think it's also important for people to understand some additional basics here, which is, you know, some nutrients are water soluble, like vitamin C, right? Very easy for your body to eliminate those and the B vitamins. Other nutrients are fat soluble, like vitamin D, for example. And so it's you can overload on that a little more easily because it's fat soluble. Your body stores it longer and so on. But then we have these minerals. And as you said, the inorganic minerals are difficult to eliminate. So we've got to be, it seems like we have to be the most careful about the minerals of all nutrients.
Yeah, it can be dangerous. And like, I'm glad you mentioned vitamin C, Mike, because vitamin C can, it's well known that it increases the absorption of things like aluminum, dramatically increases it. So someone could say, wow, I'm going to take this product, Audio Clarity, with vitamin C, and that's going to even be better. And no, wrong. Now it's much worse. Now you just dramatically increase your absorption of aluminum. The same with fluoride. You can just say, well, since Audio Clarity flocculates, you know, the water and clarifies it for me, I can just use this tap water and put Audio Clarity in it, and now I'm really going to be healthy, and it's a lot cheaper and so forth. But no, wrong again, because if it had fluoride in it, that, again, enhances the absorption of aluminum. There's a lot of myths and fallacies floating around. And, you know, I'm all for, you know, people talking about health benefits of dietary supplements. And but if we get into myths and scientific half-truths, we only discredit our entire industry and make fools of ourselves in front of medical scientists, doctors, and people who are experts in this field. And that's exactly what the big pharma companies want us to do, and FDA, that's just a perfect excuse that they need to step in and say, hey, you know what, you guys are so irresponsible, we have to come in, step in and manage you guys, because you can't suspend yourselves, obviously, your own industry. And, you know, let's redo the shade and start making new laws to make you comply.
Yeah,
that's a big concern.
Clearly this could be a case that they would use as ammunition to try to clamp down with additional regulations. What's clear to me from this is that especially the raw food community is very easily bamboozled by technical jargon, that their BS detectors don't work anymore. And
right.
I mean, I know these are harsh words, folks, especially
right.
if you've been sucked into this.
Yeah, well, that's a good example, too. Because you see, there's things that are in raw food that are questioned. There's pathogens in raw milk and in eggs and raw foods, right? In general, that are normally very benign and you know, but they can be very toxic in certain kind of individuals who've had a lot of antibiotics. People don't have intestinal flora is not right. Their immune system is damaged, and there are kids like this who are very fragile. If they consume something with salmonella or E. coli or other things, they can have severe, you know, kidney damage, and they can even die from this. So the FDA is saying, look, you have to stop producing these things because it could be dangerous. Now, on one point, they have a valid point. On the other hand, though, we've always had this these things around us, and in small amounts, studies have shown they're actually prophylactic. And on the other hand, if we live in a sterile world and we raise kids in a sterile environment, well, there's studies that have been done on exactly that model with rats. Studies were done with rats, and they did a sterile environment for them, and they reduced all of the microbes in their gut, and, you know, they just really purified and sterilized them. And what they found out was that these rats could not reproduce, and their hair fell out, and they pretty much died of premature aging. And so that's an example that this model that we're on, this track of sterility, sterilizing everything, it can, in the short run, prevent infections in people, but in the long run, it's very damaging. And so it makes no sense. We adapt, our immune systems adapt, and that's how we evolve. So actually, we want to do just the opposite. We want to expose ourselves to everything, but we never want to take the load off the immune system. You just want to take the overload off the immune system. So case in point, I was always against these antibacterial soaps and so forth, because 99% of the pathogens on your skin are beneficial to your immune system and your function. Only 1% are dangerous. So why would you just, you know, want to napalm the whole jungle, so to speak, and expect your immune system to function afterwards? That's ridiculous, you know. So these people develop all these allergies and other problems, and then you're going to allergists. Pretty soon you got to go to all these specialists to management. It's a nightmare. You see, we need to go in the other direction. We need to strengthen our probiotics in our gut. We need to stop abusing antibiotics so much. A lot of these problems are iatrogenic, meaning it's caused by doctors' abuse of antibiotics and drugs and things, and especially with children. You know, a lot of these kids don't really have so-called allergies. What they have is a deficiency of probiotics. When you get the right kind of probiotics and you get the right kind of, you know, hygiene system, and you have the right kind of way of slowly vaccinating your system with homeopathics and exposing your kids, and these kids don't have that problem. I have 4 kids. None of them have been vaccinated. None of them have ever used antibiotics. Get sick, allow their fever to go up. It's a natural way of killing off the virus. They've had mumps, measles, chickenpox, all, you know. And the doctors and the school officials always try to scare you. Say, oh my God, your kid's gonna die. And I'm like, I've never had that problem. My kids get over it within 2 days. Their kids take 2 to 3 weeks to get over these things.
Right, right.
So it's, you know, I remember when I was, it took me that long. So people, we have to back up and rethink this whole issue. You know? But back to AudioClarity and these kind of products, in my opinion, this damages your immune system. It suppresses your immune function in the long run. And if you want to go get minerals, there's a lot better way to get minerals. That's not the way to do it. That's called vegetable juicing. Let's go back to the basics, you know. You know,
well, that's
I used to hang out with, you know. Go ahead.
That's what's so interesting in this is that the group that has been buying this primarily, or at least at first, were raw food people who were in, you know, they were pristine about their diets. They wouldn't even eat off of aluminum cookware. They would avoid plastics and BPA. They would drink juices and get their minerals from wheatgrass juice and things like that. And then they got convinced that now they're supposed to start drinking rocks with sulfuric acid.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating for me, too. I have not been able to figure it out, because from day one, I've always told people not to use these kinds of products. It is very clear with everyone. This is not the kind, this is not the way to do it, not at all. And I think it goes back to what we were discussing earlier, Mike, in the sense that the accumulation of high copper, which has increased dramatically since the 60s, I think it used to be less than 5% of American women had copper toxicity in those days, and now over 80, even 85% in certain areas have copper toxicity. That and aluminum toxicity and mercury toxicity, these are all epidemic right now, correlate to autism spectrum disorders, mental disorders of all kinds, and really self-delusional patterns of thinking. I don't know of a nicer way to say it. My colleagues have observed the same things. It's established in the scientific literature as well, that they become self-delusional and somewhat even psychotic in extreme cases. They can have psychotic breaks. They can completely lose their
sometimes completely you know, lose their what? I didn't get that.
They lose their minds. I mean, they become homeless and they can't function after a while. So it's very serious when people have combinations. See, when they say, hey, we're just looking at what we're doing, I'm looking at what they're doing and what people already have. Because someone already has a pattern of high mercury and copper, and then you add iron oxide and aluminum sulfate. I mean, you've got a nightmare on your hands. Yeah. It's a complex web of city from which I don't know, you know, how they would get out of that by themselves without, you know, expertise and guidance, you know.
Well, I guess step one in this is just for people to realize that if they've been consuming this, they may have a problem. I mean, that's first, get past the denial.
Yeah.
And then second, get tested or what? How do they get tested? Who do they go to?
Well, you know, there's practitioners who specialize in testing heavy metals, and there's several labs across the country that do it, and they're experienced over decades. They can test the hair and the urine is a good way to start, most reliable and the cheapest ways to do it. It's very reasonable cost, in my opinion. It's not a real expensive test. And, you know, just see what, you know, a holistic doctor or somebody who understands how to interpret the results, and somebody has the patience to explain to you what it means, the important thing. Because, you know, so many times people get tested and the practitioner doesn't take the time to explain to the patient what it means, what's the implication, what are the implications of this, and why do I have this, and answer all the questions. Because it's very important, the interpretation the practitioner gives to the patient.
Yes.
Really important. That's really critical. Because, you know, how many times people go to a doctor and you get a blood test, and the doctor says, well, you know, it looks normal to me. No.
Yeah.
And oftentimes those results are based upon a norm. But if you look at the norm of the average American, do you want to be categorized in that way? It's normal American is not healthy, first of all. Hair analysis patterns, I know one lab that does it, they do it by an optimal range, actually. So they tested, you know, about thousands of people to determine that, and now over 1.5 million people know what is optimal. The range is based upon optimal for human physiology, which is a much bigger goal. You want to know what the optimum is for humans to be mentally, physically fit human being. You know?
Yes. Speaking of that, a lot of people claim that after they take this, they feel great. I'm not sure, maybe that's just placebo, but is there also the possibility that taking these metals in the short term can actually give you maybe an inflammatory boost or some kind of energy boost that feels like it's working great?
That's an excellent point, but I'm really glad you brought that up because I almost forgot about that. Yes, I would say this is very deceptive, because it's well known in the days when doctors in the West misinterpreted Chinese texts on cinnabar that they were treating, where they were treating syphilitic lesions successfully with cinnabar, which has mercury in it. That they said, well, you know, mercury is good. The more mercury we take, the better and healthier we're going to get. And as typical with Western practitioners, they think the more is better.
Yeah.
And so they were successful. It was very good treatment in small amounts for syphilitic lesions. It was not ever meant to be used internally. So these people became crazy. But one of the things that in those days thought it was great was for lagging sex drive. So they would use it to get better erections, and then they would die. You know, it's like crazy.
So you're saying that they would take... Your voice is still breaking up a little bit, so I'm just going to repeat some of this. You're saying they would take mercury and it would give them erections, and they thought, wow, that's great. Everything's working great. It must be good for me.
Right, exactly. And the same can happen with iron. You know, iron is a growth factor in the body, and it can give you energy initially, but in the long run, it's accumulating, and it can cause serious problems with your heart, for instance, and other damage to your system. Same with aluminum. Now, a lot of these things initially can give you a hit of energy. Lead is well known. You know, Ronald Reagan used lead acetate on his hair to keep his hair color.
Wow.
But, you know, later on he developed Alzheimer's, right?
Right.
People wonder why he got Alzheimer's. He was using that his entire life. And it's amazing. The President of the United States didn't have the medical advice intelligent enough to tell him, hey, you're taking lead acetate through your skin, through your scalp. Don't do that. You know, it's mind-blowing to me. So these are things you have to be very vigilant. You have to take control of your own health and be aware of these things. So, belief is no substitute for fact and science. And, you know, we are living in the West, and in the West we have adopted a scientific culture that's fact-based and not belief-oriented. You know, I would say belief is akin to superstition, and unless it's backed up by facts. if you believe something, then prove that what you believe in is factual. This isn't like, you know, believing in some esoteric concept. This is believing in something that can be proven or not proven. We can test our hair and our blood and our urine, and we can validate our belief or not. And so if someone really believes something strongly, then they should have no fear of backing up that belief with scientific testing.
Yeah, and I think both of us would say, you know, the role of the mind in health is always crucial. You know, mind-body medicine is very real. The body tends to reflect what the mind thinks. But what I think what some of these people are essentially telling me is that through the power of their mind, they can overcome the laws of chemistry. Now, that would be a miracle. I mean, like a biblical miracle.
Well, you know, I suppose maybe it's could in that, but you know, for us mortals down here, I think that's quite delusional again. So again, I would challenge them to prove that they can transform, you know, heavy metals into benign metals and to demonstrate that.
Well, and also, I mean, if you could really work those miracles, why would you need to take a product? Why wouldn't you just wish away all the stuff, the bad stuff in your body? I mean, if you're Jesus or Allah or whatever God you want to cite, if you could do that, why not just wish away everything bad in your body? Why drink it? Why drink something for it?
Yeah, it's not real, but it's interesting that a lot of the people I have encountered that are most into this delusional path in their lives, and they're in denial about the state of their health, and suddenly they break down with some illness. They usually have this high copper, high aluminum, high mercury pattern in their hair, and in the urine challenge test, they exhibit this, and it's a well-known pattern. It's not like I'm just talking about this. This is something that's been established over 3 decades of research by toxicologists.
I really want to thank you, Dr. Dittman, for taking your time to share your thoughts with us here. You obviously have a lot of knowledge on this topic and metals toxicity, especially in developing brains. And do you have any final words that you think people need to take away from all this?
Well, just that I want people to stay firm on, you know, their commitment to raw food and healthy eating, and you know, but go to credible institutions like the Weston Price Foundation. They have long history since the 30s of very practical advice to consumers, what's healthy and what's not healthy. They have 500 centers all over the world. People like that are very credible. You can check products out. There's you know, on the internet, and you know, talk to, you know, before you consume a product that has some questions about it, talk to people who are in the industry and say, hey, what do you think about this? You want to protect the public, your consumers. If you really care about them, you're going to make sure that what you're giving them is not toxic. So there's very simple solutions to a lot of this, and so they can easily test these things through, you know, rep labs and take out the guesswork.
Well, very, very good. Again, thank you for your time and your explanations, and we are going to get this out to a lot of people so that they can better educate themselves and begin to ask more questions about what they're swallowing and why they might be doing so. So thank you, Dr. Dittman. Much appreciated.
Okay, Mike. Thank you.